Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning, sons and daughters of the Most High God. Brethren and sisteren, my chanas, my buddies, my pala, my brass, first-time visitors, welcome in the house of the Lord this morning. I'm excited because God has a word for each one of you. If you open up your heart, the Holy Spirit is going to speak into your life. Are you ready to receive what God has for you this morning? May the Spirit of God take the limited words that I can speak. May He transcend language barriers, culture barriers, understanding barriers. I battle to understand myself at times, so may God help you to understand what He's saying through this little vessel this morning. We've had an incredible, incredible week of prayer and fasting. In one of the care groups I had the privilege of attending this week, we discussed various topics of prayer and fasting, and we asked personal questions, and I said, I fast best when I look in the rearview mirrors and I see blue lights behind me, then I fast. But I want to end off, if you didn't get that, come see me afterwards, Alexa. We want to end off with Thanksgiving the same way we started. So without further ado, let's just thank the Lord together in this building this morning. Father, we thank You for who You are. Thank You for what You've revealed to us, Your children, in this week. Thank You that You have fulfilled promises. Thank You that You've given new promises. Thank You that You've brought peace. Thank You that You've brought breakthrough, Lord God. We thank You that You've taken fear away from Your people, Father. Thank You that You've brought truth where there's been lies, Lord, and that we can live by truth, who is Jesus. Thank You that You've enabled us to keep standing strong and to stand up for those who cannot stand up for themselves, Lord. Thank You, Father, that You've brought healing in the body of Christ, because we are Your body and You the head. And Lord, when we hurt each other and when we get broken, only You can fix us, Lord. And when the enemy, Lord God, hurts Your people, only You can fix us and keep us strong. Thank You for healing Your body. Lord, we prayed for the unsaved. We thank You that family members that have been praying for the lost will see them come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ before Satan steals their lives, Father. Thank You that for men and women and parents that have prayed for wayward children for a long time are going to see their children born again, Lord. I thank You for children that are praying for lost parents who don't live for Jesus are going to see mommy and daddy come to know Jesus. And we thank You for that, Lord. And Father, thank You for everything that You have done. But most of all, we thank You for who You are. Father, this morning, we need the giver more than we need the gifts that You bring. We're not looking for what's in Your hands. We're looking for You. Thank You, Father, that You promise that for all those who search for You and desperately seek You with all their hearts, they will find You. And daarom is ons hier so vanoggend. Ons is nie so om kerk te speel of ons gesigte te wys vir iemand, om iemand te please. Ons is hier so om God te behaag en U en U alleen. O Heilige Gees, werk in ons midde. Oggend Here, sien ons harte. Dankie vir die voorreg wat ons het om te kan deel saam met U. Te kan eet aan die tafel van oorvloed, lewende brood, die brood van die lewe. Wat Jesus Christus is, en die lewende water, die water van die Heilige Gees, dankie dat geen iemand hoef huis toe te gaan, met hongerte of 'n dors in hulle lewens. We declare Your Lordship over everything that will be thought, spoken, within the confines of these walls this morning, to the praise and glory of God Almighty, and the people of faith, and God's people said, Amen and Amen, Hallelujah. God is good, and all the time. We got to come up with a new phrase, because that's like so, meh. How's about, oh, Gerald from Madrid. Who's your daddy? It's gone. Okay. Hey, Dwayne. Who's your daddy? Hallelujah. Or is he? So what I got in my hand is a flash drive which belongs to somebody. It's a SanDisk, and if you can tell me the serial number here and the date in which it was manufactured in China. Now, we've got a flash drive. Please get it from Mother Lane after the service. If you've dropped a flash drive, it was picked outside her office entrance over there. in that building. We've already spoken about finances this morning. God bless you for your faithfulness, your seed that you've sown in faith this morning. However, we'd like to make an additional appeal to every person who feels so prompted by the Spirit, not because the pastor asks, but because you feel prompted by the Spirit of God. We desperately, desperately need finances to be able to fund rehab programs for people that have come to us and asked for help. For those of you that have had anything to do with rehab programs, you know they can be fairly costly and in some people's eyes, downright expensive. We have an impossible financial mountain to get over. That's the bad news. The good news is that God has already provided the finances within this body. So we need finances. It'll probably be on a regular basis, monthly. We need a commitment from you. Over and above your tithes, which is God's anyway, and your offerings. If you see clear in your heart to help finance rehab programs for several people that we'd like to get into rehab centers, please make sure that you contact Madeleine and speak to her specifically. The numbers are on the pamphlets and say it's for rehab. We'll give you the details of whatever amount you can give. We're trusting God to be able to cover the costs for that so that we can walk a walk with these people to see them walking in lasting victory in Jesus Christ. Is that okay with you, church? Is that all right? So you just go and pray about that. Consider it prayerfully. And we're just trusting God to do the financial miracle for us. All right. Let's get on with what God has in store for us. So getting back to our theme of Christ or compromise. This week, I had the privilege of holding the smallest little baby in my hands that I've ever held. Isabella, or Isabel. One of twins born to Alvin and Bernadine. She was born at 1.850 grams. 1850 grams, gentlemen. That's probably less than the rear set on your motorcycle. And her brother Gabriel was even lighter at 1,600 grams. And while I was holding this precious bundle of joy in my life, in my hands, this life, I was overwhelmed with emotions. And I put the baby down and I was overwhelmed with emotion. The tears started to flow because it reminded me of how if we let Him, God will hold our entire life and everything that is relevant to us. He will hold in His hands if we let Him. This child, she didn't ask questions. She wasn't confused. She didn't have faith. But the concept of this whole being, body, soul, and spirit in my hands, the tiniest little living head on a person I've ever seen. The Spirit of God gripped me and I realized it can be like that with us if we let God hold our lives. And in a world that is filled with compromise, where we need to choose Christ, we need to understand this, church, that God is obsessed with you. He's completely and entirely and utterly in the most positive sense of that word. He's obsessed with you. If God had a mirror and He could look at Himself all the time, He wouldn't be like us. He wouldn't be interested in Himself. He'd look at you. He's obsessed with you. And one of the only ways we're going to be able to live a life where we choose Christ above compromise is when we're obsessed with God, like He is obsessed with us. Are we okay so far? What we spoke about the previous session is things that we can become distracted with. It's easy for us to compromise. We looked at what we think and what we say, time management, and then laziness. This week, we're going to focus on a simple way to help us make sure that we don't live a life of compromise. So what is God's obsession with us about? 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9, the B part, says, "The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are loyal to him. Wat beteken dit? Die Here se oë gaan deur reg deur die hele aardbol. Somstyds soos wat julle laaties besig om droog te maak, nee, jy weet iewerste kyk iemand vir jou. Ma of pa, check jou daar. Jy dink jy daarmee weggekom, but they watching you. And it's like that with God. He's not watching you and waiting to punish you. He's watching you. His eyes are going through, watching you to see if your heart is loyal to him so that he can protect you and care for you and strengthen you. That's what it's like. It says that his eyes are searching. Next scripture, Psalm 8 and verse 4. It says, what are mere mortals that you should think about them? How many of you this morning, be honest. Are you ready to be honest in this morning? Think that you're a busy person. Please raise your hands. Some of you are like shy. It's not a sin to be busy. I'm not going to catch you in a trick scriptural question. If you think you're busy, raise your hands. Okay, put them down. Think of how busy you are. Think about it. Think of all the things that you have to think about. All the urgent things, and so few of them are actually really important. And yet the scripture says of God, what is man that you are mindful of him in the King James and in the NLT, that you think about him? Do you think you're anywhere close to how busy God is? And my brother, my sister, because he's obsessed with you, he thinks about you, sir. You, ma'am. You. Becky, God thinks about you, my brother. He thinks about you. He thinks about you. Psalm 35, verse 27. Let them shout for joy and be glad, whoever favors my righteous cause. And let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified. This psalm is actually a prayer about those whose hearts are for God. And the B-Bot says, let the Lord be magnified, who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. I don't know what things you take pleasure in. You can have spiritual pleasure, like mental pleasure, physical pleasure, but God takes pleasure when you prosper. God takes pleasure when you prosper. And I'm talking about the scriptural pleasure in 1 John 3 where it says, I pray that you prosper in all things and be in health, even as your soul prospers. That kind of prosperity. Okay? God takes pleasure in that. This is this God. This is his obsession with you. So kom ons kyk net gou 'n bietjie om jou op te som hierdie gedeelte, die werkwoorde in hierdie teksverse. That's the verbs, né? Search. He's searching. He's looking. He's thinking about you. He has pleasure in your prosperity. And then Psalm 37 and verse 23. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. This used to throw me a serious curveball in my early walk with Jesus. It says, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Everybody say, every detail. Every detail. Dit beteken ook, wanneer jy droog gemaak het, ek soos een erg droog gemaak het, nee. You like started outranking the devil in terms of, on a sin scale. Jy het die duivel laat skaam kry vir wat jy aangejaag het. Julle lag, because we do that, isn't it? God delights in that. What does that mean? He's pleased in it? No. But he's still watching over you, brooding over you, waiting for you to come to a place in peace with him. Think about that, folks. And I used to meditate on this. The steps of a, what does it say? Let me not misquote God. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. And I thought, Lord, if that scripture is true, hoe kom jaag ek sulke groot nonsense aan? If I'm a godly man, why am I still going footering forward and doing my own thing? Now picture this. These two images came to my mind. How many of you have had the privilege at high school or whenever playing with mercury quick? It's lekker. It's 30 odd times heavier than water. So you hold this in your hand and it's like, wow, as lighties, we freaked out. I couldn't believe that this in my hand is as heavy as it is. But mercury, you've got to be careful. Because if you don't hold it just right, it's gone. And then we used to have these before Nintendo and Donkey Kong and TV games and Atari and PlayStation and E-box and I don't know what other box. We had these little games like a plastic container. It had tiny little ball bearings in it and pictures where you had to get the little ball bearings. Francois, kan jy vir ons, I sien jy glimlach lekker, né? You had to take these little ball bearings and there were several of them and you had to get them all in the right place. Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, get over it. Stick to the image of the mercury. And it's like that with God. If you're godly, if you said, Lord, help me, I'm living for Jesus, He's got your life. He's got your life. And if you let Him, by your common sense, which by the way is not so common, and by the leading of the Holy Spirit, is it so any diff? By the leading of the Holy Spirit, He'll guide your steps. Hy sal vir oom wys, die kant toe, ja. En as oom in die verkeerde rigting, hy sal sê, nee, bietjie die kant toe. Bietjie links, bietjie rechts, totdat oom op die regte plek kom in Jesus Christus, waar hy sal weet, die is waar God my wil hê. That's what it's like. Why? Because God is obsessed with you. This obsession with you is not something that He does on the sideline because He's got nothing else to do on His day off, on the Sabbath day. He's obsessed with you because 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 He loves you because He loves you because He loves you because He loves you. Are you getting the picture, church? That's God's obsession with you. Can we move on? What about our obsession with God? I don't know if you, any of you have ever been obsessed with anything. I'm not going to say I was obsessed, maar ek gaan die huis uitpraat vanoggend. Ek gaan uit die huis uitpraat, of uit die kombuis, of uit die slaapkamer, whatever. Jy verstaan wat ek sê. In one of our moments of intense fellowship, my wonderful spare rib, isn't she lovely? She says, she chirps, she says, if it's not orange, he's not going to touch it. Because KTMs are orange, bless God. And I was spending hours upon hours upon hours looking at my bike, cleaning my bike, prepping my bike, fixing my bike, riding my bike, looking at my bike, cleaning my bike, prepping my bike, washing my bike, riding my bike, and yes, it's a KTM. And dit was net KTM dag in en dag uit. And I wasn't obsessed, I just enjoy KTMs. Forgive me, okay? But can you see the context here? So she'd say to me, I'd say, yeah, love, I'm going to do it. You don't have to remind me every 6 months. Daar was 'n lysie by die huis van dinge wat gedoen moet word. But they were taking second, third, fourth, fifth priority because I was focused on my KTM. What about our obsession with God? You see, is God just a little sideline? It's a pleisterkie wat jy so nou en dan op iets plak daarso wanneer jy hom nodig het. En dan as het weer reg is, weg is die pleister, kom ons gaan jol weer. Or are you obsessed with God? Folks, for us to live a life where we live for Christ and no compromise, also, check on. We're going to have to be obsessed with Christ. An obsession with God. So by the grace of His Spirit this morning, may you allow God to teach you what this means. Two things quickly. Two things that may be an indication of obsession with God in our lives. Number one, obsession means being totally convinced, believing entirely, having no doubt whatsoever that His promises for us are real and that He'll fulfill those promises. That's being obsessed. Totally convinced, believing entirely, no doubt that His promises for you are real and that He will fulfill them. You see, if I'm not completely obsessed with the truth of those promises, the devil will come and say, ja, but what if? Ja, maar wat as? Ja, maar onthou jy. He'll come with all these arrows of doubt because he's a liar and the father of lies, John 8:44. And he'll come and try and steal some of the truths that God has implanted in your heart. And if your mind goes to, but maybe, I submit to you, maybe you're not completely obsessed with that promise that God has given you. Is that okay? Romans 8 and verse 31. If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Paul's writing to the church in Rome, and he realizes this. At this time, you must realize in Paul's life, the very forces, the very best that hell had to offer came for the apostle Paul, and he was still standing. Daarom kon hy gesê het, if God's for me, I can imagine the apostle Paul standing there, not an arrogant little so-and-so like me, a humble man of God who met Jesus face to face, telling the church in Rome, Guys, if God's for us, who can be against us? Who? Who? Because he'd seen and experienced and lived and was living what it's like when the enemy comes for you, when you're obsessed with God and you're in God. Wat 'n pak slaa die vyand kry, dat jy staande bly, dat jy nog steeds wandel in geloof. That's why he could say. So our obsession with God must understand this, these natural words. If God is for us, who can be against us? Let it travel from your head, the longest distance known to man, to your heart. From your head to your heart. It's a long distance. And let it become your truth. God is for me. What can the devil do to me? Let alone the ANC government. Really? Let alone SARS. Let alone sickness. Let alone disease. Let alone bankruptcy. Let alone icebreakers. Affirmative shoppers. Whatever you want to call them. What can anybody do to me? God's for me. God's for me. God's got my back. We know Ephesians 6 from verse 10 speaks about the armor of God. Speaks about nothing protecting you at the back. What does a coward do? A coward attacks you when you're not watching from behind. Isaiah 58 and verse 8 says, God is your rear guard. He's your rear guard. So wanneer die duivel 'n lafaard move wil trek, let him come. God's got this. Ons sê dit nie in arrogansie nie, né? It's because we know we're in God. Hello? This is not spiritual arrogance because you can shondai rondai. You realize that God's got your life in his hands. He's got the whole world 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 in his hands. One more time. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world. In his hands, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got you and me, brother. In his hands, he's got you and me, sister. In his hands, he's got you and me, young fella. In his hands, he's got the whole world in his hands. Okay. Van julle het gesukkel om dit te sing. Inteendeel, jy het geweier. Because jy glo dit nie. I just leave that with you. You refuse to believe that. Romans 8 verse 38 to 39. Paul says, I'm convinced. He's not, I believe. He's way past belief. He's totally convinced. Some translations say he's fully persuaded. Right? It means he's no turning back from this. He's fully persuaded, but he's bought into this. I'm fully persuaded. It says, I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today or our worries for tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's why we can be obsessed with God. Are you fully convinced of those promises? And if you're not, it's going to be difficult for you to be obsessed with God. May the Spirit of God make you fully convinced of those promises. That when you're in God, the devil can try, but he's not going to get it right. And he can try and try and try. He may win a battle or two. But here's the truth, church. He's already lost the war. He's already lost the war. That's why the scripture says in Colossians 2 verse 15, I believe it is, it says, having disarmed principalities and powers, Jesus made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them on the cross. There's an analogy there where the generals would beat a general and they'd drag the defeated generals through the public streets and put their foot on the neck of the general to humiliate them completely. The Bible says Jesus has done that to Satan on the cross when he breathed his last and said it is finished. And he went down to hell and he took the authority of sin, death, and the grave away from the devil. He made a public spectacle of the devil. It's like, imagine, Hmm. Yeah, God is good. Okay, so our obsession with God. Another way of being obsessed with God is, it means delighting ourselves in the Lord. Verheerlik, verlustig, nee, Philly? Verlustig, nee. Verlustig, as hy. Verlustig yourself in die Here. And I used to think this is my... speak life over myself. I used to be the selfish person. The three most important people in my life was me, myself, and I. And if I had the time, I'd think about other people. Now, when I was like that, I used to think this scripture, because remember, you read scripture through your glasses, right? The way you see things. So I'm reading the scripture through my selfish glasses, and I check this promise, this happy clappy, yay, charismatic Pentecostal dude, woohoo! Where am I? Help me. Yeah. Psalm 37 verse 4, it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of the heart. This is what I used to think. So I delight myself in the Lord, and all my desires over here. The motorbikes, and the this, and the guns, and the, it's guns and motorbikes, guns, motorbikes. So I delight myself in the Lord, and He'll give me the desires of my heart. I used to think like that through these selfish glasses. And then, in His loving, tender way that only He can do, the Holy Spirit showed me what it really means. Those things are lacquer to have. How many of you enjoy motorbikes? Come on. Guns, not so many. Golf stalker. Huh? Lacquer. What other hobbies are there here in the church? Come on, speak to me. Cameras. What? Vespas. Fishing rods. A beautiful lacquer carbon fiber fishing rod with a Shimano reel or a shot. I mean, those things they're cool. God wants you to have nice stuff. But He doesn't want the nice stuff to have you. Is that okay? Right. So God showed me this. Those things are good. When I delight myself in the Lord, He gives me the desires of my heart. Whom am I delighting Him? Whom am I delighting myself in? So who's the desire of my heart? Wow. What a difference. When I delight myself in Him, He gives me, which is Himself, the desires of my heart. He gives me more and more and more and more of Himself so that these things become less and less and less important. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what that scripture verse means. When you delight yourself in the Lord, He'll give you more of Him. Those are two ways we can be obsessed with the Lord. Being fully convinced of His promises, totally believing it, no doubt whatsoever, and then delighting ourselves in Him. As we land this thing and bring this sermon to a close this morning, this definition, the daily devotion from Oswald, it's time for a drink. I say, the daily devotion for the 2nd of June in my utmost for His highest, Oswald Chambers, inspired these thoughts in me. Everybody's obsessed with something, most of us by ourselves, by our Christian experience, if we're born again. If we're obsessed with God, it becomes impossible for the onslaughts of the devil or the cares and worries of this life to get a stronghold over us. It doesn't mean that we'll never experience concerns or certain anxieties. It just means that things won't govern our lives or consume our thoughts. These things won't govern us. So imagine this, and this is the illustration I'm going to end off with. Almost end off with. How many of you remember pea shooters at school? What is a pea shooter in Afrikaans? A pea shooter. A pea shooter. You take a big pen, you take a refill out, take a little piece of paper, roll it up, spit. How silly it would be. Please, we're almost done. I'm not going to preach long. Too late. Says my. Imagine the hardest substance known to man is diamond. The hardest metal, steel, known to man is chromium. Imagine you're inside the sphere with a 6-meter thick diamond sphere covered on the outside by a 3 meter thick layer of chromium. And there's somebody on the outside trying to hurt you with a pea shooter. And you're like, oh, you're where? Help me. That's silly. It's silly. How can that pea shooter possibly hurt you? So if you are obsessed with God and you understand in Him you live and move and have your being, Acts 17 verse 28, I think it is. In Him we live and move and have our being. If you're living in Him, hoe kom jy dan so bekommerd en geworried oor sulke snert in die lewe? That's why Jesus teaches so strongly, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. You can't change your life by worrying. How can you possibly be hurt if you're on the inside of that sphere? What about Almighty God? If you're on the inside of Him, who can harm you? So as we close this morning, as the deep end comes up, ask yourself this question. If God is obsessed with you, would you let yourself become obsessed with Him? If the Holy Spirit has spoken some truth into your life this morning, and then give yourself, ja, daar soort ek gevrees, I'm concerned about this, I'm concerned about that, would you come and just lay those cares and burdens at the foot of the cross this morning? And just realize, God, to live a life of no compromise, you're obsessed with me. I want to become obsessed with you. If that's you this morning, would you do business right there with the Lord where you're seated, please? And the deep end is just going to, there's some worshipful music in the background. Just gently that we can just focus on the Lord this morning. And whatever you're doing, just focus on the Lord for a few minutes and be honest with yourself. As the Holy Spirit shines His light on your heart and everything about you that is real before God that He knows anyway. If there's an area of anxiety or worry or concern in your life about health issues, financial issues, relationship challenges, pressures of work, business, whatever, just surrender that to the Lordship of Jesus this morning. I want you to pray right there where you're seated, please. In your own words, call upon God. Call upon Him in Jesus' name. And just thank the Lord that He's brought you to this place, this moment in time here this morning today, where the Spirit of God is speaking to you. And Jesus has given us a written invitation in Matthew 11, 28. He says, come to me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden and you're burdened. Come to me and you'll find rest for your souls. Lay your burdens down and take my yoke. Take my burdens upon you because my burden is easy. And my yoke is light. And let that divine exchange take place this morning. As you stop carrying things that you were never meant to carry in the first place, just bring them to the Lord. Surrender them to Jesus. Allow the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom as to how to do that. Let God comfort you. And then take Jesus' yoke and Jesus' burden upon you. What is Jesus' yoke? What is His burden? It's simply to believe in Him. Yes, Lord, You said it. I believe it. And then follow Him. So would you exchange those burdens this morning? And just say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for worrying. Forgive me for letting anxiety grab hold of my heart. Forgive me, Lord, for fearing. Forgive me for doubting, Lord. Remove fear, remove doubt, remove anxiety. Bring peace, bring faith, bring rest in You, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name. As we continue to pray, I want you to think about this one last thought. And then I'm going to do an altar call. A dove, a gewone turtle dove, whatever. It's so easy to drive over them when you're riding on the roads. And your car, and your bucky, your bike, or whatever. Because a dove only has the ability to focus on one thing at a time. Hy kan nie mooi rondkyk nie. Sy aandag is net op een ding gevestig op 'n slag. Hy sien nie jy daar aankom met jou double cab om hom plat te ry nie. Dove's eyes can focus on only one thing. And my prayer for you, my brother, my sister, as we remain in this attitude of worship this morning, is that God will give you dove's eyes. Eyes that have been, wat jy jou blind gestaar het aan die vyand en die leens van die wêreld, die kommernisse van die wêreld. Eyes that have been looking at the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and all the other worries, that your eyes will become blind to those things, so to speak, and that your eyes will focus on God Almighty, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. Your eyes will turn away from people that are letting you down. People and their issues, how people hurt you. That you'll take your eyes off that, my brother, my sister, and you'll look at Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Hebrews 11 and verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus. Sorry, Hebrews 12 and verse 2. Looking at Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised its shame, and is sat down at the right hand of God. And you, that joy, look at Jesus as he looks to you. God is obsessed with you. Would you take the time to look into those love-filled, obsessed eyes and see the love that God has for you? May the Spirit of God give you dove eyes, my brother, my sister. And may you never see things again this morning. And this is the altar call. If you're at a place in your life where you've never understood the love of God like that, you don't know that Jesus cares for you like this, and you don't know what it's like to have a relationship with Jesus, let alone you think he's, ek weet nie eens of dit ooit in die hemel toe gemaak nie. If that's you this morning and you're not sure of your salvation, please raise your hands quickly. Anybody like that? Anybody? There's a couple of hands going up. Thank you. Bless you guys. Several hands. Bless you guys. Thank you. That's great. Right, let's everybody stand together, the whole congregation, please, all of us. Continue interceding, please, church. Pray fervently in the Spirit, please. For those folks that have raised your hands, God has seen you. That's all that counts. And those of you that didn't raise your hands and you needed to, God sees you. That's all that counts. I'm praying for you folks specifically this morning. Father, I pray for every soul that has lifted up their hands, whether it's somebody that doesn't know your love, that's never lived for you, or that's not sure of their salvation, if they're going to make it into heaven one day. I pray, Lord, for them this morning. And if that's you, if you raised your hands gently right there where you're seated, just pray this in your heart to the Lord. Say, Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son. And Jesus, I believe in my heart, and therefore I speak this morning and I say that you're God's Son. I believe that you died, that your blood was shed, paid a price for me to forgive me of my sins. And I'm asking you to forgive me. God, forgive me. Jesus, have mercy on me. Wash me clean. Give me a whole new heart, Lord. And as you continue to pray, pray this, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, come into my life. Fill the emptiness. Take control. Help me to keep following you and living for you, Jesus, all the days of my life. And Holy Spirit, guide me and lead me. And Lord, I make a commitment to you that I'm going to live for Jesus all the days of my life. And Holy Spirit, help me to keep that promise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you. Thank you for making the time to listen this morning. May Almighty God bless you and keep you and make His face shine upon you. May God be gracious to you and lift up His countenance over you and give you His supernatural peace. I'm going to make the time to stand outside and meet you. If you're a first-time visitor, please come and say hi. I'm not as bad as I seem. I love everybody, and you're next. I'd love to meet you. For the rest of you, have a Jesus-filled week. Show random acts of kindness. Do it to them before they do it to you. God bless you. Go for it, guys.
Thank you.